Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners from around the world, but also to welcome to the show four exciting, talented, humorous performers who are going to show off their dexterity, words, and language as they speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Shappy Kosandi, and seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Russell Kane. Will you please welcome all four of them? And seated beside me is Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score and blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the BBC venue at Potter Row in Edinburgh during the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. And we have an excited, very silent at the moment, fringe audience ready to burst into laughter and applause, we hope, as we begin the show this week with Giles Brandreth. Oh, Giles, I'm sure it's been chosen for you. My tartan underwear. That conveys I know that you've got tartan underwear, which is very embarrassing. Will you talk on the subject, Giles? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
It is well known that all a Scotsman wears beneath his kilt is naked ambition. I, when I took part in the Braemar Games, decided to take precautions and acquired some tartan underwear. This was because I was tossing the caber. When the organisers approached me and said, "Are you the tosser we are expecting?" and lift my kilt and display the black watch. Not something you tell the time on.
Paul Chance.
Is it a repetition of kilt?
No, he said when I lifted it.
Ah, didn't repeat kilt.
No.
No, he didn't. No. Giles, that's an incorrect challenge. So you have a point for that, of course, and you keep the subject, and there are 35 seconds still available. My tartan underwear starting now.
I ran across the field with the mighty stick in my hand. I flicked it into the air. It turned a double somersault like Wayne Rooney on heat. And then it was that the wind blew up my sporran and the cloth around it and revealed, yes, those gorgeous knickers, now unfortunately the elastic gone, and around my knees. It was an unfortunate moment when people said, "Oh, dear me, that's not very exciting, is it? Oh, hi, the new Dr. Snoddy, where are you? This fellow needs some attention. It's clearly colder here than we thought." I was embarrassed by this humiliating moment in my life because my tartan underwear is something...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Giles Brandreth, who actually started with the subject and finished with it, but with one interruption. But at the end of that round, he's got 2 points, and of course, naturally, he's in the lead ahead of all the others. And thank you for laughing at that. It wasn't very funny, but it just helped to keep the show going. Right, Russell, first time player of the game. Right, you take the second round. And the subject we've chosen for you, Russell, we hope it's an easy one, castles. Tell us something about castles in Just a Minute, starting now.
Well, we're in the city of Edinburgh, where there is a very famous castle to which all the Americans immediately flock, stand outside with their cameras and go, "I'm so Scottish right now. Am I pronouncing it correctly?" For me, the castle is a very loaded term. I grew up in a council road, and the castle was the nickname our neighbours gave to our house because my father dared to buy his own welfare property and extending it, turning it into a three-bedroom house. The thing that really pushed the pejorative term over the line was when we sunk a swimming pool into the back garden of our state-assisted home, therefore becoming... on our estate, the only people where my mum could get in from Macro's garden. I'm a bit hot at the moment, I think I might have a swim. And it really annoyed the neighbours, and my dad's accent immediately changed.
And right, Paul Chance.
A repetition of dad?
Oh. Yes.
Not that I've got issues.
Yeah. You did mention a dad earlier on, but you went for 47 seconds.
That's not bad for a first time.
A first time player of the game. First time of doing it, and you get 47 seconds. Give him a bonus point.
Yeah. Yes.
But Paul had a correct challenge, so Paul, you take up the subject, and there are 13 seconds available. Castles starting now.
Not one of my favourite places to visit are castles. I find them inherently boring. There's drawbridges, moats, bits of walls still standing up, but I find it very...
Giles' challenge.
A repetition of find.
Oh, yes, you found it, yes. Yeah. Right at the beginning, right. Well, listen, Giles, and you've cleverly got in with 4 seconds to go. You've won no friends in the audience, but you've got... and you've got castle still, and you start now.
To be king of the castle was what I had wanted to do most of all when I was on the beach at Broadstairs as a child.
So, at the end of that round, Charles Brandy, the speaker, the whistle win, and gained that extra point for doing so, and he's increased his lead at the end of the round. Shappy Corsandy, will you begin the next round? The subject is call centres. Tell us something about that evocative place in these games, starting now.
I had two jobs, enduring ones, that I did before I did stand-up comedy, and one of them was in a call centre. The other one, if you're wondering, was a life model. That's a very strange job, because you have to stand naked in front of strangers and they draw you. And at one point, this guy said to me, oh, has anyone got a rubber? Which was an odd thing to say in the middle of a class. The call centre, however, was something I was good at. I was good. I repeated the word good.
Right.
I can't love myself.
Russell, you're challenged.
I was going to say deviation, but the word...
No, hesitation.
Well, there was quite a lot of bit about life drawing, which, and it wasn't really much about the call centre.
Well, the thing
but
is,
I was
Russell,
slightly aroused by the story, so
the
I didn't
miss it. Russell, I used to do the call centre by day and the life modelling by night.
But you deviated from that, and you also hesitated.
Yes, but it's my life.
No, Russell, you were very quick there, and... and you got right in for a first-time player, and that was a correct challenge.
I noticed a patronising tone in your voice.
The subject is call centres, Russell, and you've got 50 seconds starting now.
The call centre is one of the fastest times I've ever been sacked in my life. I've been fired from jobs.
Shappy,
oh.
There you are, Shappy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but that's what happens. You get the subject back and get a point as well for a correct challenge. He did hesitate. Right. 44 seconds still available, Shappy, on call centres starting now.
I was rather good at my job.
Call challenge.
Repetition of good.
Yes, you were talking about being good before.
Right. Okay, well...
And when you get the subject back, you can't repeat what you said before. Paul, you've got him with 42 seconds on call centres starting now.
Occasionally, when I have to phone up a call centre, I'm aware that I might be talking to somebody in a different country who's going to ask me how I think the plot line of Coronation Street reflects modern society in Britain today. These are the kind of topics that they do tell people who are working in call centres to engage with the callers on the other end of the line to make you give you some idea that perhaps they're phoning you from Burnley or perhaps you are telephoning them.
Giles challenge.
Repetition of perhaps.
Yes, perhaps.
Oh, yes.
Yes, perhaps. Well, listen, Giles. You've got him with 19 seconds to go. Tell us something about call centres, starting now.
I think the punishment for former News of the World journalists should be to be locked into hacking a call centre permanently or for the rest of their lives, listening endlessly to the calls of other people that are of no interest whatsoever, people asking for codes you can never remember.
Right, Shappy challenge.
People.
Yes, repetition of people.
Oh, yes.
Love the succinct way you challenge. And you didn't say, he repeated, you just said, people. Anyway, correct.
I'm dying to tell you my story about when I worked in the call centre.
Well, you've got 5 seconds left.
Oh, Christ.
Carry on. Call centres starting now.
I became a manager and I interviewed a new cult caller and his name was...
Oh.
Well done.
Oh, you've got in, Russell, a new player with 1 second to go.
Yeah.
Call centres is for you, Russell, starting now.
Hello, this is First Direct.
So, as I said before, whoever's speaking with the whistle goes gained that extra point. It was Russell Kane, and he's in second place behind Giles Brandreth. I'm Shappy Corsandy, and Paul Merton are training just behind. Paul Merton, would you begin the next round? The subject, Spartacus. Tell us something about Spartacus in this game, star.
It's one of the classic films I've never seen. I know it stars Kirk Douglas. I know there's a famous scene towards the end where various people claim to say, I am Spartacus, and then the person next to them repeats it. Ditto Spartacus, etc., and so on. And it seems to me that as a film, it is one of the great movies of the...
Shappy Channels.
Sorry, I think you said film twice, and I'm a bit scared because I haven't seen it either, and I don't really want to take it over.
Yeah.
You did mention it was a film right at the beginning.
I think I did, yeah.
Correct.
Are you sure you don't want to give Paul the benefit of the doubt?
No.
No, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, darling.
Okay.
We'll hear from you on Spartacus. 43 seconds, starting now.
I once knew a woman who called her baby Spartacus. I don't know why she did this. I think she didn't really want to be a mother in the first place. I also met another child yesterday called Theatre, but that's irrelevant. I have never...
Giles challenge.
Self-acknowledged deviation.
Giles, it could be irrelevant in the collective sense, but it is not irrelevant to the story she's telling.
The so child was called theatre. If it had been called movie, cinema, Kirk Douglas, possibly. But you're the judge.
I don't understand your challenge now.
That's all right. I'm used to that.
I'll take points away from you in a moment.
Can you do that? Can you take points away from people?
No, I've never done it before.
No, well, take a point off Giles. Go on, take a point off.
No. I like to think I have a reputation for fairness, and I don't want to be unkind to anybody, let alone Giles, whom I do know very well.
Yeah.
And, Chaffee, you have 30 seconds. Continue on Spartacus, starting now.
What I do know is that the bloke in it is the dad of the bloke who is...
Paul Thomas.
A repetition of bloke.
It's no!
Yes, the word
yes.
is. There's too many blokes. You can't bluff your way out this time, darling. 25 seconds on Spartacus, Paul, starting now.
Well-oiled, muscled torsos strode across the widescreen. The year was 1960. They were ready for a new decade, the American public. They strode into the cinema and took...
Giles' challenge.
A repetition of strode.
They strode...
Strode?
Too much...
Did I say that before?
Yes, you did.
Did I? It must be a favourite word of mine.
Yeah. I've never used it before.
I've never used that word before. Now I've used it twice. Isn't that funny? Go on, take a point off him. Take a point off him.
No, he gets a point for a correct challenge.
Yeah.
And there are 14 seconds, Giles, on Spartacus, starting now.
At the House of Commons, there was a Spartacus club, of which the chairman was John Prescott, MP. Amateur pugilist, deputy prime minister, the man who uses the language like a Rubik cube, and he would dress up in this extraordinary outfit, bare torso, oiled little loincloth.
So... Giles Brandreth will then speak as the whistle when gained that extra point has increased his lead ahead of all the others at the end of the round. Giles, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is hand-me-downs. Tell us something about hand-me-downs in this game, starting now.
What does the Queen do when she burps? She issues a royal pardon. This is an old joke that was handed down to me by her husband, Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. In his own case, he is a...
Russell, you challenged.
There was hesitation.
It was.
Yes, it was. A stumble over words, it's hesitation. Well listened, Russell. And you've got 50 seconds to tell us something about hand-me-downs starting now.
Well, I'm a fan of the hand-me-down. I often wear second-hand clothes and clothes that are vintage.
Oh, Chaffee, you challenged.
But can I say I really like your dress sense?
This is ideal for just a minute, isn't it? I suppose for our listeners, I should describe it now.
No, please don't.
Well, I should, because they don't know why they laughed. He's wearing a T-shirt. Bare arms. What's on the T-shirt?
It's a camper van. A Volkswagen camper van. And I've cut the neck off to create a scoop cut.
Oh. Well, now they know why the audience laughed. Thank you. Hand-me-downs is with you, Chappie. 45 seconds are starting now.
I was dressed in hand-me-downs, which is a shame because I have an older brother. It was very difficult doing ballet in football shoes. Occasionally, our mother would buy him dresses, so when it came to handing them down to me, they would look pretty on me, gave my older sibling a complex. Hey, I'm getting the hang of this. Hand-me-downs...
Paul challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, you got the hang of it, and then it collapsed.
Damn.
Well done, my darling. But, Paul, you've gone in with 23 seconds. Hand-me-downs starting now.
Hand-me-downs is something that used to happen a great deal in Victorian England when you looked at the working-class people who had very little money, and it would depend on who was the first person to buy a pair of trousers within a particular group, and whoever that individual was would then hand those pants down the family line. So you might well see a five-year-old child wearing a enormous pair of trousers... I'd lapsed into the Dickensian phrase then.
And Russell, you cleverly got in with half a second hesitation. Hand-me-downs. Russell, starting now.
My jeans are more like...
So, interesting situation. Russell Kane, our first-time player of the game, has now moved forward into the lead with Giles Brandreth. And Russell, it's your turn to begin. Don't let it all go to your head. It can all fold up in a moment, right? We're a tough game. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we're bonding
but,
here.
But you're doing well. Yes, I know you are. Yes, right.
I think it was bonding, either that or bondage. Anyway, it sounds fine. I'm going with the flow.
I should explain to our listeners that Russell and Giles are sitting close to each other. Russell, Kane, your turn to begin. On a long train journey, that's the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
Long train journeys I enjoy, and because I'm a stand-up comedian, I can buy first-class tickets in advance and sit comfortably as I travel from London to Edinburgh. I always feel slightly like I don't belong in a first-class carriage.
Chappy Janet.
First class.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
First class. Yeah. You don't wear that T-shirt in a first-class carriage, do you?
Oh, yes. To provoke the ire of the elites.
Chappy, correct challenge. I don't know what you're talking about. 48 seconds, Chappy. On a long train journey, starting now.
On a long train journey, you can decide whether or not to chat to the person next to you. It can be like opening up a can of worms. Sometimes it'll be quite interesting. Sometimes they...
Poor challenge.
Repetition of sometimes.
Sometimes is twice, yes. And the subject is on a long train journey. You have 35 seconds, Paul, starting now.
London to Edinburgh is quite a long train journey. You go through various stations. Didcot's one of them. Peterborough.
Giles, yes.
Didcot?
You don't go through Didcot to it.
I always get on the wrong train. I have to change at Didcot.
Well, Paul, if you get on the wrong train, you're still not going to Edinburgh, are you?
No.
It's still a deviation.
It's a longer train journey.
Going via Didcot is deviation.
It's a longer train journey. It's a longer train journey, which is the very subject. On a long train journey, I've made it longer. How can that be deviation?
No, because it'll be two separate train journeys, because London to Didcot is short, and then you're back at square one. You can't link that to the other train journey that you're...
I think they've answered you, Paul.
I didn't think it was that much of a problem.
Anyway, Giles, you've got the point and the subject. And, of course, it's apt you should have it because you wrote a marvellous book about something to read on a long train journey, didn't you?
I did. Thank you for mentioning that. Something sensational to read on the train.
It
was indeed. That's sweet of you to touch on that, Nicholas. And I have to say, I enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed your book, which I'm... Though August is coming to an end, there's no better summer reading than, I think, Nicholas Parsons' Life, A Life in Comedy.
That's right, A Life in Comedy.
You've had A Life in Comedy?
Yes.
Have you?
If I wasn't...
You kept that quiet.
Oh, you wicked bastard, Rosa.
Now I remember. That was your catchphrase. Now I remember. He also say that in the 60s, do you remember?
Right. Go on, give him a bonus point, he deserves it. Right. But Giles, you've got the subject, and there are 30 seconds on a long train journey, starting now.
I was once stuck on a long train journey with Margaret Thatcher, who has many qualities but no sense of humour, which must have made bringing up Mark really quite difficult. What distracted me on that journey...
Paul Challenge.
There was a hesitation there, did you notice that?
No? There was a little hesitation,
yeah, wasn't there? Yeah,
unusual for him. Because he does go to usual lick, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So what I do on this occasion, it's doubtful. Paul, I give you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, but I will try and redress the balance and give you the benefit sometime later.
God, you're fair. He's so fair, this man.
Always fair. 20 seconds on a long train journey to Paul, starting now.
I do prefer long train journeys as opposed to short aeroplane flights. I love covering the same distance on the rails. The train takes you there directly from city to inner bit that you go to, and it's absolutely beautiful that you can walk up and down in these carriages, look sedately out the window, see the landscape as you pass through it.
So, at the end of that round, Paul was speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. It's all very close. He's equal with Russell Kane, one behind Giles Brandreth, and Chappy trails them by one point only. So it's all very close. And Chappy, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is the eldest child. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
My brother is the eldest child in our family. The eldest child is the one born from love. Two people meet and they adore each other so much they want to create a human being out of that affection. Second children are not born that way. We are merely toys for the eldest child. Nobody has us.
Giles, you challenge.
Hesitation.
That was definitely hesitation. Mm. Yes,
so there was.
Giles, you have 34 seconds to talk about the eldest child, starting now.
I would so love Russell Kane to be my eldest child because it would put him out of temptation's way, as far as I'm concerned. Regular listeners will know.
Where are we going?
We've gone there.
Can't we just pass through?
So, Russell, you challenged.
Good.
I was overcome with filial love for Charles. There was a slight hesitation there as he declared he'd like to adopt me.
Yeah. Definite hesitation. Yeah. So, Russell, you have the subject and you have 23 seconds.
That's my boy. Enjoy it.
Thank you, Papa.
Feel the moment.
Right.
Do you think Joel should be sitting on his hands as well?
Sir Russell, 23 seconds. The eldest child starting now.
I was the eldest child. There was two of us, my brother and I, James and me, and I constantly bullied him, and now I'm filled with guilt. As I grow up, all the little things that have gone wrong with him, I wonder, did I have anything to do with that? Though I used to wander in where he was very tiny and go, monsters will get you. Mom, he seems to be crying again. I can't explain it. And also, the bullying that revolved.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Shaffy, you were listening well?
Yes, and also I wouldn't buzz anywhere because that's just mean. Because he is where I am.
Well, what is your challenge? The rules are just a minute.
Oh, the bullying.
Oh, the bullying, yeah. Repetition, yes.
I said bully the first time, I think. Mm. Bully, then bullying. Oh, yeah.
That's what my boy said.
Spoken like a true dad of a bully.
You're right, you did.
Dad of a bully, yeah.
You said he used to bully him and then bullying, that's right. No, you've still got 3 seconds left, Russell. Oh. And you've got the eldest child starting now.
The most tyrannous bit of being the eldest child was breaking wind and launching it into my brother.
You kept going till the whistle did go, getting an extra point for doing so, and you've taken the lead again ahead of Giles and Paul and Shappy in that order. Paul, your turn to begin. The subject is cleaning up my act. Well, as I've heard your act, there's nothing dirty about it, so I don't quite know why you got this
subject. Unlike your catchphrases.
He's still being wicked, isn't he? Paul, cleaning up my act, 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, as Nicholas alludes to the fact I used to have an act, but that was way back in the 1980s. I haven't done stand-up for such a long time as I found it easy just to make things up off the top of my head on stage with other people. For example, just a minute, you don't have to clean up my act here because I'm aware that I'm appearing on Radio 4. There are certain words that cannot be broadcast. One of them used to be Brandriff. Now we have a completely open policy and we are allowed to say this as often as we like on this particular medium that we are now sharing amongst ourselves here. Am I going to pause for breath? I think I am. Do you know the most magnificent thing about appearing on Just a Minute and cleaning up?
Oh, Russell, you spotted it first.
Repetition of Just.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, Just a Minute, the whole
thing. Yeah,
absolutely. Right. I was just being specific to the word.
I've forgotten what the subject was.
I know. Cleaning up my act.
Yeah, I should have written it down, didn't I? Yeah.
Right, Russell, you've got the subject, and you've got 29 seconds still. Cleaning up my act, starting now.
It's often very difficult for me to clean up my act when I go on radio, for example, because I'm from Essex, a county in England that prides itself on swearing constantly and unnecessarily. Even while thinking where they were last week, people will swear just to feel...
Oh, Shappy, spotted
it. You saw twice.
Yes. And 15 seconds, Shappy. Cleaning up my act, starting now.
I often have to clean up my act at the Edinburgh Festival because people bring little children to my shows. I've often wondered why this is so.
Giles challenge.
Repetition of often.
Often. Yes, did I say often and then mispronounce it and say often? Because
yes,
I do that sometimes. I never know which is the correct one.
I think it depends from where your background is.
Iran.
Sorry, shouldn't that be Iran?
So, I think most people say often, but some people who haven't got the advantage of a scholastic education say often.
I was trying to distract you all and make you think that the subject was still mine. It's not going to work, is it?
No, it's not.
No.
Okay. Who challenged? It was Russell, wasn't it?
No.
Yes.
No, it was me.
It was you?
I was Giles.
Giles, right. Oh, yes. 8 seconds, Giles. Cleaning up my act, starting now.
When Russell has finished cleaning up his act, I hope he will start to clean up his room.
Paul challenged.
Well, you see, this is clean up my act, not clean up Russell's act. It's deviation from the subject, you see.
Correct challenge.
My boy and I are as one.
Yeah.
And his act, frankly, are hands-me-downs from mine.
Right. 5 seconds.
We're all you can sue on that, I think.
5 seconds are still available, Paul, on cleaning up my act, starting now.
I was determined to clean up my act. I got myself a big bucket of soapy water, a broom, and I said...
Right. So, at the end of that round... Oh, I've just heard. We're into the final round.
Oh.
Oh, you're a lovely audience. We're moving into the final round. Let me tell you, the Shappy, who's not played the game an awful lot, but she's does it well, she's just in fourth place. 1 point behind Paul Merton, who's 1 point behind Giles Brandreth, who's 1 point behind Russell Kane.
Ooh.
Our first time player of the game.
Ooh.
That's very close. Giles, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is acquired taste. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I have recently acquired a taste for licorice, Irish music and older men, so that when Nicholas walked in this afternoon sucking a sherbet dib-dab and whistling the Londonderry air, I was in seventh heaven. I know that I am sometimes prescribed as an acquired taste myself. This I find a little bit hurtful, particularly because people say we're still waiting to acquire this taste. And when you have been actually playing the game for some 30 years, you feel, oh my, it's a bit sad that people do not recognise that you've repeated one word and you sweep on, which is generous.
Paul Challenge.
What's with deviation? I think the words got a bit mismixed up there.
Yeah, they were. It's a repetition of people, too.
Yeah.
26 seconds are available, Paul, on acquired taste, starting now.
Well, acquired taste, I suppose, is something that you build up yourself through experience. You can look at various films, television programmes, listen to classical music, define your own taste, you can say to yourself. I think I prefer late Beethoven to early Haydn. Or maybe you might even suggest Mozart. What a magnificent composer. But, you know, I think if he had lived beyond his 30s, he might well have moved into country and western. This would only be an opinion.
Paul was then speaking with the whistle when gained that extra point. Oh, what an interesting result. Chappie, who hasn't played the game a lot, finished just in fourth place. No, it wasn't fourth place, actually. It was third place, darling. Because third place, because Giles Brandreth and Paul Merton are equal in second place.
Oh!
Right. Oh. Only 1 point ahead is our first time player of the game, Russell Kane! So, well, in his lucky T-shirt, he's come here and triumphed.
It's in the blood, Russell.
I couldn't have done it without Daddy.
Well, thank you very much. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. And it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Chappie Cassandy, Russell Kane and Giles Brandreth. I also thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me keep the score and blow her whistle magnificently. And we are grateful to our producer, Talusha Galani. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here at the Festival Fringe, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye, thank you. And remember, listeners, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yay!